And as always, I come to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. So, happy belated Thanksgiving and also a beloved Advent and blessed Advent to all of you. A couple of days ago, we had a dear friend of mine, a seminary friend, hospital chaplain friend, trauma bonded friend, great friend, come and visit with us for a couple of days. This is the Friday after Thanksgiving, so as you can imagine, most everyone is not awake at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I am, because it is my nature to do that, to the chagrin of my family. My mother loves it when I come and start singing loud show tunes to her at 6:15 in the morning. Yeah, she loves it. You love it. You do love it. Yeah. But so I spend most of Friday, you know, walking various neighbors' dogs, loading wood for the various houses, going and picking up children from my friends' houses to go, like, take them out and have adventures because I've got tons of energy and I want to go. But the problem is when you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you work and work and work and do all of these things, by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're absolutely exhausted, right? So this is what happens to me. And so I lay down next to one of my dogs in like this like sunroom greenhouse situation that we have at our house just to like pet on her and love on her. And of course, I fall asleep and I fall asleep hard. Now my friend Tyler, who's also a priest, he's the rector at a church in Columbia, South Carolina, had come up to visit us. And it's getting close to the time where he's going to come and visit us. And I start getting these like these little alarm clocks that look very much like my children coming and poking me and being like, Dad, Tyler's coming. Tyler's coming. Tyler's coming. He's going to love that I'm kind of comparing him to Jesus. But, you know, I didn't wake up. Didn't wake up. Didn't wake up. And so it's about like 4 o'clock. And all of a sudden, like I start getting shaken by this large priestly looking man with a bald head and beard and everything. And it's like, oh, Tyler, you're here. I didn't even know I was awake. And he was like, well, you've been snoring and drooling for like 30 minutes since I've been here. It's probably time for you to wake up. So what I said to him was like, really? I didn't even know that I was asleep. You sometimes don't even know that you're asleep, especially when you fall asleep that hard, right? But that's the thing about sleeping. Often, we don't even know that we've been asleep until we actually wake up. Maybe that's why in today's gospel from Matthew, Jesus tells us, keep awake. And also in today's epistle from his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment to wake from sleep. They seem to be saying that we're asleep and that we don't even know it or realize it. Now, for Jesus and Paul, being asleep are not just the physical states that we often encounter ourselves in, especially after all the tryptophan of you know, Thanksgiving turkeys and all the things. These are spiritual states of being. Sleep to Jesus and Paul and their admonition and their warning and guide and call to us are spiritual states of being. We're either awake to the life within and around us, or we are asleep, potentially even drooling or snoring our way through life. Now, I reckon that the people to whom Paul writes don't even know that they were asleep. These are Romans. These are early followers of Christ. They were just sort of, this feels good and this is right and we know that this is what we should be doing. But also, like, how do we do that? They're sort of going about business as usual. And I think that's probably what most of us do. And that's also probably what most humans have done throughout the history of humanity. This is what the people in the days of Noah did. Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It was business as usual for them, just like it was for the two men working in the field and the two women gathering meal together. They knew nothing of what was coming until one was taken and one was left. Also, friends, I reckon that there have been times where business as usual, the routine and ordinariness of everyday life, has lulled us into sleep. I can see some sleepy nods that show me that I think some of you know what I'm talking about. We can get into a rhythm, and sometimes that's a good rhythm, a flow state. But sometimes our rhythm of life can lead us into a rut in life. We do the same things again after again after again, day after day. And not much changes. And sometimes that's not so bad. But sometimes it's as if life is on autopilot and we're just going through the motions. Do you know what that feels like? We show up, but we're not really present to where we are showing up to. We're not awake to what is going on around us, to the needs of others, and sometimes also our own needs. Life can become mechanical, and we're no longer dreaming or imagining what life might be. The colors of life, the beautiful rainbows and wonderful things that we see give way to shades of gray. We don't expect anything to change, and we don't look for anything new or promising or beautiful. Everything is a known quantity. There is no mystery. There's no discovery. There's no surprise. It might be boring, but at least it feels safe. And I like to feel safe. I think we all like to feel safe at times. But as followers of Christ, we are not always meant to feel safe. But when we do, we begin to take life, to take people and relationships for granted. Patterns and habits replace thinking, questioning, and wondering. Replaces growing. We shake our heads when we read news about the wars and violence that we all know about climate change and disasters and all the things that we all know about political scandals, social and local scandals that we all know about. We've seen it all before, at least 100 times. But sometimes in our safety, we don't ask what we should do, what we can do, what we ought to do. We might stay busy, but do we stay energized? Life is stagnant and nothing is bubbling, fermenting, or growing within us. Life is stable and predictable in that sort of predictable and stable, stuck way. And then we wonder why we're so tired, why we don't seem to be getting anywhere, and why nothing ever seemingly changes. We might hunger to feel alive, but it's business as usual. We get up in the morning and we do the same old things that we have done the day before. Now, a lot of the things that you do on the day that you did before are not bad things. It's about shifting your mind into what God is calling you to do. Because, friends, as followers of Christ, we are called not to sleepwalk through life. I know what that's like, and I think a lot of you know what that's like also. So when has it been like that for you in your life? In what ways does that describe your life today, where you find yourself here at Holy Cross this morning? To what parts of your life are you not awake? And in what ways have you fallen asleep? I certainly can't answer those questions for you, but I can tell you some of my answers. I have known that at times when I was sleepwalking through my marriage and the needs of my wife, Sally, when I was asleep to my own emotional needs and well-being, when a prayer was a box to be checked rather than a relationship to be nurtured, when I anesthetized myself to the pain of the world, I felt that way. I felt like I was sleepwalking through life and I was not awake. So what is it for you? And how are you awake today? We are in Advent today. And Advent is the season of waking up. It interrupts business as usual and calls us to ready ourselves for the coming of Christ. I think, however, it's more than just getting ready to welcome Jesus or celebrate his birth. I think it's participating in and giving existence to the future that Jesus offers us and makes possible for the whole world. I think that future both offers us something and it also asks something of us. We catch a glimpse of that future in today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah and also the psalm that was beautifully sung just now, Psalm 122. Isaiah sees a time when we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we learn war anymore. He dreams, Isaiah dreams, of a nonviolent future. And I think that's what we all want for our country, our region, our town, the world. We also want to be good ancestors. We want that world for people that will come after us that we will never know and never see. The psalmist describes the future as a time when Jerusalem is at unity with itself. Peace is within its walls and quietness within its towers. There is prosperity and doing good to others. I love what the psalmist describes. It's what I want for myself. It's what I want for all of you. And it's what I want for all of those who are yet to be born. It's how I want to live. And I hope it's how you want to live as well. So what if that's the future Advent holds before us today? What if that's what is coming to us? What if that's what life is like in the unexpected hour? It's a big future. It's a big dream. It's the unexpected hour that shatters business as usual. And that future doesn't begin by changing the world, friends. I'm here to tell you that. It begins by changing ourselves. It begins with the thoughts that we think, the words that we speak, the choices we make, and the actions that we take. And that's not only about how we relate to others, it is also how we relate to ourselves. So, what swords in your life can you beat into plowshares? How might you be less harmful in words and actions towards yourself or towards another? What would it take to be a bit more wholehearted and at unity with yourself and with another? What if we prayed for the prosperity of others as much as we prayed for the prosperity of ourselves? How might you quieten the voices in your head and live with a heart at peace rather than a heart at war? To whom are you seeking to do good, and how might you expand that goodness to others? Every one of those questions points to the unexpected hour that Jesus is talking about today. And what if the unexpected hour isn't just a one-time event? What if the unexpected hour is not just this hour, but the next hour and the one after that? Maybe the unexpected hour is always before us, waiting, calling, hoping for us to wake up. Friends, that hour is filled with life. It is filled with hope. It is filled with possibilities. And today, in the hour that we are existing in, is the Advent hour. So what would it mean and look like for you and me to wake up? And what would it take? I don't want to sleep my life away, and I don't want you to sleep your life away either. Take a nap if you need to. do your drooling, your snoring, if you have to. But eventually, how do you keep your lamp full? What will it be? Are you going to hit the little snooze button of life? Or are you going to wake up? Amen.